And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You'll be the best and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodrigue, and with me this week, my fabulous guest co-host, Erica Tamposi, aka Ricky Hollywood. Erica?
How we doing?
Hey, what's up? I wasn't sure if I screwed up the pause already. I was like, oh no, this is like such pressure right off the top.
I know, and I always, so we're on Zoom. You guys can't see us, but we can see each other. And we're on Zoom, and I always try to warn people, it does look pretty extra when I'm going through the intro. Like, you know, I scoot closer to the microphone. I make that weird wait for it face, you know, as we're waiting through the pause. So, you know, I'm sorry you had to endure that, but I guess it's like a christening of sorts for you.
No.
To the Rams beat.
Yeah, this is, I couldn't imagine it any other way. Like, this is the best. What an honor.
So for people who don't know Erica, and you should be following her on Twitter and all socials because she's already cranking out some sweet content for the Rams. You just joined the Los Angeles Rams, but illustrious career before that. I know you from the Around the NFL podcast, of which I'm a huge fan and listen to avidly. I don't actually think I've ever missed an episode, frankly.
But whoa.
Don't tell those guys that because, you know, sometimes we got to keep...
Yeah, it goes right to their head.
Yeah, I got to keep the egos in check a little bit, I think. But so tell me a little bit about your background. And then also, I think people are curious, too, about how this huge life change came about for you in Los Angeles.
Jeez. So, I mean, I'll give you the high level background. So I'm from New England. And sorry. And I, you know, I went to school, got a film/communications degree at the University of New Hampshire. Wasn't really a film school. So whenever, you know, companies or, you know, ESPN would come by, Kenny Mayne needs a production assistant. It's like, well, we don't really have a film program, but here's Erica. So I would go be a PA. I did MTV shoots and I really wanted to be a director. So that was my goal. And I was like, I'm going to direct things. I'm going to Hollywood. And that's sort of where the name Ricky Hollywood came out of, because Erica and people just started calling me Ricky. And then they would almost tease me like, oh, Ricky Hollywood thinks she's going to go to Hollywood. And I was like, I'll show you. So I went and my first job was on the TV show Justified on FX. And I was a production assistant in post-production and then just started moving my way up through the post world, which I was like, okay, maybe I can, you know, hop, skip and jump over this way. And, you know, everyone has their different path. And then I worked on, you know, Drunk History, which I was actually in an episode of that. Derek let me be in an episode, which was awesome. not the drinking one, just like a. You know,
oh, sure. We'll be the judge of that. We'll
I was drunk during it, but I wasn't the narrator. And then I did Mr. Robot season one, which was my favorite thing on my resume. And then I was working on a J-Lo show, her dance show. And so this is when the NFL kind of called. So for those that don't know, that type of work is gig work. So it's like, here's this first season. It's going to take us about 8 months. Then you have a job and then you don't. And so I was just like on a TV show, then off, then 3 months off, and then just like totally grinding. I was like waitressing in between and just trying to figure out like what the heck I was going to do with my life in between. And so there was a Netflix show that called, but it was still in post-production. So like the higher up you get in post, that doesn't mean you're like an editor. It means you're like scheduling the editors and doing color correction. And it's like, no offense, it's like super boring. And
not super Hollywood, but also yeah. Very super Hollywood. Yeah.
Right. So I was just very much like, oh my God, this is brutal. And so I was like, do I keep doing that for a Netflix show? And then someone was like, hey, like, I know someone at the NFL, they're looking for a producer, like, why don't you head in and go? And I'm like, okay, well, like, I love football. It's my favorite sport. Sorry again. I'm a diehard Patriots fan. So I was just very much like, okay, this could be cool. And I go in to my former boss's office and he's like, yeah, so it's a producer role for podcasts. And I was like, for what? Just like, what are you talking about? Like, was blown away. Like, I was like, that wasn't on the job description. Like, I don't even listen to podcasts. Like, I obviously do now, but this was 6 years ago.
This one especially, you know.
Right.
This one,
I've been listening for the 15 years that you guys have been doing it. It was amazing. Like, you guys are storied.
Never missed an episode. Die hard fan.
I found it so crazy that when you were in Carolina, you were still doing a Rams podcast. Like, I just, Jordan, you work so hard.
What people really don't know is, so I'm a twin, and what actually happened, the way she came out of the womb first was she just got annoyed because I was podcasting from the womb. So she was like, I have to get the hell out of here.
Exactly.
This is too much for me. Who does podcasts? And then podcasts got popular, so I had the last laugh, obviously.
Right, right. For sure. Yeah, long story short, I'm stuck with the Around the NFL boys. And then the rest is sort of history. And it is funny because, like, in all my interviews with the Rams over the years, plural actually, which is pretty cool. I've always been like, do I have to stop tweeting about the Patriots? Like, what are the rules here? And they're like, well, we like kind of wish you wouldn't be like so crazy and vocal about it. But, like, I was like, yeah, but, like, Rams, it's, like, different conference, totally other side of the country. Like, we can be all cool. Like, we can be one family, right? And they're like, Erica, can you just stop being so crazy? Because I literally tweet, like, the most ridiculous things that I definitely need to probably scale back a little bit now.
But I think you very much, like, hit the scene with Rams niche specifically with that amazing video you made before the Super Bowl, which I was such a fan of because you had that epic line about the local coffee shops and you're at a Starbucks, which is like, again, very Hollywood. So, love that. So I think you sort of like, people already obviously knew of you and knew your work, and you have so many fans everywhere, not just from the Rams or probably just from the Patriots, from all over because of your work on ATN and probably in the biz as well, from your work in the biz. And so I just think it's so interesting how your path sort of converged into this, where so many people, I mean, you kind of are a connector in many ways because so many people along your way have stayed with you and now you're here in this space. And so I'm kind of wondering, not to put you on the spot here, but kind of wondering like how you navigate that, because you are now somebody who people have stuck with. People are tracking what you put out there, and it is Rams, yes, but how do you keep people drawn in and how do you keep people connected as a creator when you have such a diverse background?
Yeah, I mean, I do a weekly podcast. All I do is freaking podcast. It's like, that does not make sense.
And then I was like, hey, want to be on my podcast?
No, but I'm just, it's so funny because like 6 years ago, like I literally probably couldn't even spell podcast because I was like, what is that? Is this a new thing? Like, I have no idea. But I do one with comedian Anthony Jeselnik, who is like a different branch of, so I have followers from the comedy scene. I have Patriots followers. And let me be clear, like if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, it's been, you know, 6 minutes and all I've heard is her talk about the Patriots. Like, let me be clear. Like, I love this Rams team. I love the Rams. I love the organization. I am so incredibly humbled and blessed. And just like every day I'm waking up and I want to pinch myself and just be like, is this real life? Like, is this real? They're letting me put out an intro video of me saying, let's ram it. And then like eating, you know, grass essentially to like fall. Like, they're allowing me to do this stuff. And I feel so, so amazing. But as far as like, I've told, you know, of course, they're my close friends back home. You know, they have used the word traitor and they have called me stuff like that. But, you know, it's all in jest. They love me and it's fine. And I think that with football fans, and I think, listen, my followers and my people that enjoy my content, I don't think necessarily they're coming to me. I can talk about, you know, the X's and O's all day if we want to, but I think that they like to come to see, like, this is a fun angle of football. And I really love the sport and I love these players and I love all the stuff that surrounds these players and the teams. And so, like, my interest in these teams is not only, hey, they're winning, they're losing, or look at who's playing on the you know, the second string during training camp. Like, that's sort of interesting. Like, I can watch that sort of stuff. But, like, I think a video of me, and if you're a Patriots fan, this is, you know, this is a athletic exclusive here.
Oh, shit.
So
here we go.
I haven't filmed it yet, but I really want to film the boys at training camp and then me putting on a helmet, being like, I'm ready. And then them, someone saying, like, you're not, like, on the team. Like, your content. Like, you're not on the team. Because, like, you can be a Patriots fan and find that funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's – you can
know football and find that funny. Yeah.
Right. You can totally – like, a hate comment is a comment. I will take them. You can comment cringe all you want. Like, get that engagement up. Like, I am okay with it. Like, that is fine. You're watching it, you know? So I guess that's, like, a roundabout answer of just saying, like, I don't necessarily – believe that if you're not a Rams fan that you can't like the content that I'm doing. I mean, I wore a ring pop to the ring ceremony, like, that's
which I loved.
What I do.
and I definitely, I want to ask you about that, like, just because you're learning, you're meeting all of these new people and everything, and so I want to get to that in a minute. But I loved what you said about, because you kind of touched on this thing, you know, you love football. I've known this about you. Again, I don't think I've missed an ATN episode. Like, I've known this about you forever. And when those guys and yourself, you reached out and those guys had me on, I was like, nice to see you guys, but I really am, like, a huge fan of Erica. and so
your check is in the mail.
Yeah. Thank you. So when, you know, that shines through, and I think that's the first thing that sort of just smacks you in the face about this culture, because I came over a couple years ago from another team, and, like, that smacks you in the face is, like, if you love football, you fit in. And it's not even just fitting in. If you love football, you have something to contribute. And I think that's if you're going to pare everything about this space down, all of the things that they're doing on the media side creatively, which you'll be a huge part of and are a huge part of, and then all of the things that they're doing on the field creatively and quite literally changing the shape of the league in many ways, you know, that's it. You take all of that away, and that one heartbeat that's still there is, if you love football, you have something to contribute to this space. And that goes for every part of the organization. And so it's no wonder to me why you're able to bridge those connections so easily and have so far. I mean, you made quite a splash. That ring pop, the ring pop video. Okay, take us through let's get the director's cut a little bit of that. Because also, like, because so non, you know, here I'm going to sound like a little bit sour. I'm not. But so
media was allowed.
Non-team media.
Yes,
no,
correct.
But you know, I'm not sour. I had a nice night off. It was great. You know, cherish those times before camp.
I thought about texting you and being like, hey, I got a quick peek at this ring before anyone got it. And then sending you
sending
a picture of my ring pop. But am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, you're allowed to swear.
I feel
this
like
is a podcast.
I would have got just a big, like, you, yeah. Erica, back. So I was like, I'll just let her, like, have her night.
I would have sent you a picture back of my dog doing his judgy face, which he throws out there quite a lot.
That would have been nicer, and then I would have not as felt as bad.
So. But it's so cool that you got to see, you know, kind of peel back the curtain on how these guys are around each other and see a little bit, you know, on the ground of what that relationship was last year and what that camaraderie was before they, to quote literally everybody since camp opened, turn the page. So
right.
what was that like for you?
Well, it was, so I joined technically the Rams July 1st. So July, I took like the month of June off and was just kind of relaxing and did a little traveling. And then July 1st, but then it was like a week off. So it was like quasi not there. So then I'd only been in the office for 2 weeks and we worked on the video. We shot that and then we were planning to drop it the day like before the ring ceremony. So then they were like, Erica, come to the ring ceremony. I'm like, okay, am I going to be doing interviews on the red carpet as player rights? They're like, no, just we want you there. And I was just like, okay, like this is great. So then I was like feeling like, you know, not a necessarily good thing. I don't really struggle normally in social situations, but it's their night. It's the employees' night that are we're celebrating and working so hard. So I did sort of feel like the new kid at school that like didn't really have friends. Like I had knew everybody and would be talking in pockets and here and there. But then I'd also be like, all right, I'll just take my champagne and shimmy over here and like stay out of the way and whatever. So then I was thinking like, okay, everybody that's there is getting a ring. Here I am like a week in and I get to go and be a part of this when media can't go. I was like, what is something that I can do that'll be fun, that the players will like, and then we can sort of connect on that. And so I went to Target. Got a huge big bag of ring pops because they don't sell them individually anymore. So I have some if you want any. I have so many. Found the blue ones and then like just tucked them into the purse. And I was like, if I need it, that's my little fallback. And then so I'm walking around and finally, you know, everyone's opening their rings and everyone's excited. And then I was like, all right, now's the time to throw the ring pop on and get some great reactions. And I have this video of when Aaron Donald saw it, like laughing so hard because he thought it, like everyone was just going up and like putting their rings together. And like, that was just sort of like, look at this, look at this. And so when I like, was going up with like the DJ playing and everyone's feeling, I'd like throw my hand up with the ring pop. Like people were just like losing it because they weren't expecting it, which was awesome. And so I was just super excited. But yeah, to see the team together like that and, you know, Von Miller was there, Robert Woods was there, and to see everybody celebrating together, it was one of those like pinch me moments too, where not only am I standing here right now when I don't not necessarily shouldn't be, but I did sort of feel that like, oh my God, am I intruding on anything? This is just such a special moment for this team and for the organization. And it was just like, just good, like the best vibes all around. And who wouldn't be excited at their ring ceremony, you know? And unfortunately, for me, it, you know, that's my first one. So hopefully there'll be more to go to. So I don't really have a lot to compare it to. But just to see everybody together and celebrating, it was just a phenomenal night.
Yeah, the thing about that video too is you almost couldn't help when you're watching it, when guys are laughing. It's that pure surprise, like organic, like joy of seeing that somebody's literally holding up a ring pop and dapping it to their ring. Like it, the Aaron Donald part, you did put in part of it where he was just like losing his shit laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was so organic. And people, a lot of times, and I talk to people in the organization about this all the time. It's like these guys wear helmets on the field on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and sometimes Saturdays.
Or Tuesdays.
Oh my God. Don't remind me. I'm still recovering from last season. My God. And they wear helmets at, you know, through a large portion of training camp that is open to fans. And so peeling back those layers, and that's what I love about my job personally. It's obviously in a different space, but I love being able to showcase who people are because everyone, and you could parachute into any team and find some really great people and really, really great stories. But there has been something about this group and you know, knowing from being other places, like there has been something about this group where there's almost like a willingness and a want to show those little tidbits, those little morsels of personality. And I'm hoping, you know, as we kind of move into this new, whatever this new world looks like in terms of how the organization moves forward after, you know, winning the big one, it's going to be really interesting to see too, all of the dynamics and all of the character and all of the people who kind of like pivot toward what's next. And I think that's fascinating. But with those moments of levity, you really see what people are really like. And I told you this yesterday when I saw you at camp, I was like, you got Sean McVay to like smile and laugh at you. Like with that, you know, like you came up to him in his space and like, he was like, looked like a kid in a candy store, no pun intended.
Exactly. Yeah. I do kind of wonder about people being like, who the hell is this chick? Like walking around with all the players with her ring pop. But you can't get mad at a ring pop.
Like, no, you can't.
Can't get mad at a ring pop.
That's the subtle genius of it. It's like you're instantly delighted by it. So it doesn't matter what situation. Now, if you were going to come in the locker room with that thing after a loss, I would be curious to see the psychology
probably
of it.
And I don't think it would be as many smiles or
you might
not.
You might, though. People might be like, you know what? It's actually fine.
Exactly. Like, you know, I just love, like you said, just that sort of catching you when you're at a moment of joy already where it was like nothing could go wrong. And it was just, yeah, just sweet, sweet as candy. Yeah,
there. Nice one. Nice one. We love horrible puns on this podcast.
Yes.
By the way. Yeah.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
So again, to quote everybody that's been on the podium for the last couple of days, to turn the page.
Yes.
So first day of camp yesterday, obviously a couple of minor semi-major news items in that Matthew Stafford's throwing again. Mm-hmm. Publicly, he has been throwing since the end of OTAs and ramping up. And Jalen Ramsey not going on the PUP list. Doctor's able to clear him for installation work, so he doesn't have to work on the side. And you know, a couple guys on PUP, Kyren Williams should be cleared by the middle of the preseason-ish, in my sense. But other than that, other than kind of like the tidbits that trickle out when guys report, I'm curious about storylines that you're following, that you're tracking. And I have a few thoughts of my own as well.
Yeah, I am super fascinated with Bobby Wagner, how he is sort of fitting in. I saw him walking out yesterday of the locker room, and then him and Cooper Kupp actually stopped and talked for a little bit. So I am sort of, and I'm very interested in the human piece of all of this too. So it's like coming to a new place, same with Allen Robinson, which I think Stafford mentioned it at the podium as well. It's like, or maybe it was McVay saying that like he's in a new place, but this isn't a new thing for him. So I find it super interesting watching sort of those dynamics and seeing who really is, because we've all seen players that are like, yeah, they're great, but you know that they sort of don't have that connection. And so watching that sort of build in real time, last night I was at dinner and I was, I saw Bobby Wagner and I think it was Ramsey and a few other guys. They were walking to another dinner place. So they're going to dinner together. I don't know if that's like breaking rules to say that.
No, that's like the best part of camp is guys all get to have these nice dinners in Newport Beach together. Like,
right. And so I was trying to see like where they were going and I was just like, that would have been really interesting, but my view was blocked. And like, if I was a real journalist, which I'm not at all, I'm literally just a wise ass content creator. I have no journalistic background whatsoever. Like I said, probably couldn't spell podcast. That's a joke, by the way. But I should have gotten up and kind of tucked around the bushes and like really kind of reported on, was it PF Chang's? Like, where were they going to somewhere nice? Were they doing a steakhouse? Like that, I really, you know what? I'm going to take this time to publicly apologize.
What you're describing isn't so much journalism as it is light stalking.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. So maybe.
So
maybe
I think you're okay. I think you're okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know what? I think the public deserves to know that type of information. So I got to do what I got to do, you know.
Well, knowing you, you'll figure out a way to do it in a super creative way too. Like pop up.
Erica in the bushes.
Pop up out of, do the 90s sitcom, you're underneath the silver serving dish and it's your head. It's your head with your phone and you're filming their reaction of, you know, the 90s. Yeah.
Or 90s. Like just dress up as a waiter and like just try to get into like their table and just sort of be that waiter that hangs around a little too
hover
much.
Waiter.
Where I'm just like, everything okay? They're like, yes, like everything is fine. But I'm just like, okay, like fly on the wall, try to listen to the conversations, try to get some more info out that way. You know, that would be good too. Because I'm curious in what they eat too, you know?
These are, it's all like, ideas. Yeah, these are all ideas. Yeah.
Not all ideas are going to, you know, make the cut here. You guys, this is just a sounding
board. This is a spitball sesh.
Yeah, just a brainstorm, you know. Any ideas, let me know. Happy to try them out.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting thing. When I've been watching Alan through the spring, and first of all, you could tell it means a lot to teammates that they were at all the voluntary stuff. A couple of guys went out of their way to kind of shout them out for that, actually. Like some of the younger guys that Bobby Wagner and Alan Robinson, as experienced as they are. And, you know, vets, I'm never a person who's like, this person wasn't in attendance today, so they're bad. You know, it's like,
For sure.
It's voluntary. So for me, it's like, you know, balance it with your family and all that stuff. But those guys being there, and Alan Robinson was kind of describing like going into hermit mode a little bit. They were like, you know, have you gone and enjoyed the city? Like, you know, we're on a Zoom with him at that period of time in the spring. And have you gone out and enjoyed the city? No, I usually am just like go to practice and watch film. And I'm really trying to get my playbook and like, but he's not just saying it. It's not the trope. It's like, he's literally living this. Like he was asking, you know, but are you going to maybe catch a baseball game or anything? Yeah, you know, I might go see like maybe the Angels or something. So that's how you know he hasn't.
He's like not
gone
even
anywhere.
Aware of like what is like, going
no,
on.
No, Dodgers town. No.
Like, no, I feel that. I mean, when I was coming to the Rams, I stayed up reading all of your pieces and binging this podcast. So, and I texted you, I was like, thank God for you.
And I said, I'm so sorry you had to endure that.
No, it's fantastic. You just, you know so much and you're such a prolific writer that like it makes me, I was practicing spelling out the word podcast after reading your stuff because I was like, I can be like Jordan one day.
It's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Honestly.
No, you are incredible. When you, like, that's why when we were like, the ATN was like, oh, who should we talk to about the Rams? I was like, oh my God, Jordan is like the smartest person I've ever read. We need her on right now.
Oh, that's so nice. I think
I mean
I just think it's so interesting, like you said, these new guys who are not necessarily new. And when I'm watching Alan, like he looks like he could go tomorrow.
Right.
He does not look like this is his first year in the offense. And people, I think on the outside, you know, this is a time of year where everyone's sort of drumming up like, you know, the takes and all that stuff. And
think pieces and all that. Yeah.
And overreacting probably a little bit to training camp. And I usually really try to stay away from overreactions, especially this time of year. But, you know, watching him all through the spring and all through the, you know, this onboarding period, I think people are going to be really blown away by him this year. And yesterday, just, you know, seeing him in those 11-11s and Stafford actually throwing, yesterday. I mean, what were your impressions of him? And then obviously, you know, I love that note about Cooper and Bobby. They kind of like try to stretch together sometimes too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just cool. Like those little details I know you love so much.
It's awesome just to see it. And I think even when you're seeing Stafford throw and you're seeing, you know, Allen in there and it felt good. And I wish I had more of a necessary football take, but I think you nailed it where it's just like they look good. They look like they've been putting in the work. It doesn't look like he's stepping on the field for the first time, like trying to figure out schemes or play. It felt first nature. And, you know, he's never going to say it, but it must feel nice for him too. You know what I mean? Coming from the Bears and the situation that he's been in, I think it must, once again, I'll use that term, like sort of like a pinch me moment. Like, look at this team. Look at how McVay runs practices. Look at this coaching staff. Look at everything that this organization symbolizes and then puts into action when they're actually on the field. Yesterday was day one, and it felt like they had all been together as a group going through things for months. Like, it just, the offseason just totally, you know, we turned the page essentially, but it felt like there was no time in between. And that was only day one. I can't even, like, I think it's going to be such a good groove. And like they said, they're going to just keep building these blocks and putting more and more into it. And I just, like, I can't wait to see this team when it's all together and really running things.
Well, and they're, as I mentioned last year when talking to all you guys, they're darkly chaotic at times. And I think they thrive in that chaos. Like, I think they almost crave it or need it because it's an all out sprint. And right. You can tell just even from the way that they run practice. I mean, hell, Sean McVay is one of those like hard on your sleeve play callers where you could see his personality through how he's calling a game. And that's super organic and rare. You don't always get that. Sometimes you do see people who hold that section of the game a little bit at arm's length while going through it and looking at it from a sort of bird's eye tactical view instead of like being it and living it.
Right.
You can even see now how much they've gone tempo and will go tempo over the last 2 years now that Matthew Stafford's the quarterback. Like, you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I'm physically anxious right now watching.
Right.
But in a way that's productive, like, because they're all out sprinting all the time. And then I think that they sort of thrive on this. You know, I think they're hoping that they don't have as chaotic a year as they did last year.
I know,
other
right?
than the end of it, which was great. But at the same time, it almost is like they seek that change and they seek that catalyst. And you can see it when you're watching the way that they script practices and the way that they run it. It's urgency everywhere. And then you see, oh, that's a direct result of Sean McVay and sort of his brain and all of the dark corners of what's exactly. going on in that thing. Yeah,
so. Exactly. And I mean, it's the off season, right? So yeah. You're looking at, and I come from NFL Network. So sort of switching from this macro to more of a micro view has been a little bit of it trips me up because I'm sure you follow all the other teams closely too as well, but it feels like everybody with all the trades that were made and all the stuff that's going on with the Dolphins. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that team could be pretty good. And then, you know, Kyler Murray signs his extension. And then all of a sudden it's like he's feeling good and other pieces are coming together, you know, which in the division, of course. But when it's training camp and when it's the off season, like everybody looks good or everybody looks like on paper like they've made improvements or they've added these pieces and it feels really good. And I'm bringing this up to say that this team, though, you know, the Rams – watching them in this space and all these star powers that they have, but it's not even the stars. It's like everybody is in lockstep during these practices. And once again, it was day one.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt really good. And of course it's the off season and not anymore. It's training camp, but of course we're not playing games yet. So once that starts to happen, you know, the parity will split up a little bit more and you'll be able to see who's who. But it just gets me super excited. And I think seeing this all in the flesh every day is just getting me more and more pumped for the season.
Yeah. You're going to be like quite literally like vibrating as the season. You're like, if you're this amped up now, by the time we get to October, you're going to be like levitating as you walk down.
I hope I make it. Yeah. I'm going to limit my coffee maybe to one a day. I've been doing a couple a day, but I think I just like something in my hands.
Yeah.
So I'm just like sipping coffee when it probably should be water for my, you know, hydration. But we'll see. We'll see if I make it. Knock on wood.
I think like so. So my job is supposed. I'm supposed to be skeptical a lot of times. Like that's part of it. You mm-hmm. are you look
picking
at,
apart.
Yeah,
it
you stuff. Pick things yeah. and pull at threads, and then you have to have this natural skepticism of process and people and all of that because you're trying to figure out, you know, what could be underneath, what's real, and all this stuff. And I always tell people that with that, all of that, it doesn't get old to me knowing that what I'm looking at, exactly what you said, that is real. That's not, oh, I've started drinking, you know, the team Gatorade and now, you know, I'm like, you know, it's right. not that. And I sort of was echoing this all through last year because it's easy to be skeptical of a team that on the outside looks the way that it does and does the things that it does.
Right.
But it's when people do come in and they see what it really looks like when they're all sort of on the ground level together and they're all sharing the same space and interacting with each other. That's the real stuff. And that's what I always try to tell people. I'm like, I'm not bullshitting you on this. Like this is, I'm writing this because it's real and it's actually happening. It exists. It's tangible. And I think that it helps to have like kind of how we started this entire conversation. It probably helps to have all of the life perspectives, all of the different spaces that you've existed in to really know what is unique about this one in particular. And I know that everyone, first of all, I was getting texts about them acquiring you. So you're the big superstar acquisition of the summer so far until, and this is, I say this to send everyone into a panic again, but until OBJ resigns, of course, then that'll overshadow a little bit. But yeah, and I think, you know, this is something where I'm excited to see, especially not just your content, but especially like kind of what you uncover. Like I love the little details of those videos. Like I said, the details that you were able to find even in a 30-second, 1-minute long, you know, reel on Instagram.
Thank you.
It was like, that's what it is. And that's what I like to find and I like to see. And I think that with that and all of the other projects, I'm sure you'll be immersed in. I know people are going to be really, really excited. And I want to make sure everyone is following you on Twitter, making sure that they know where to find you in all of your various platforms.
Yeah. So it's just at Erica Tamposi. It gets a little confusing because I got a couple of names that I answer to.
I love the Ricky Hollywood one. Like,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
yeah.
Full blown answer to it. Like, will turn my head. There's someone on the video team named Ricky. There's also someone named Erica at the Rams. So my head is like doing 360s all the time. We're going to have to work it out or, you know, come up with some sort of signaling. But yeah, thank you for saying that. That's so nice. I'm really excited to get to do this. And there was talk about me joining last season, right before the season started, and I didn't end up doing it and really kicking myself for that.
You wouldn't have had a ring pop at that point.
I know, but then I wouldn't have had that amazing ring pop content. So everything happens for a reason.
True.
And you know this. Isn't it just bullshit being a woman? Like, I don't want that to be my lens either. Like, I really want people to know that, like, yeah, I do. I love comedy. That's my first love. Like, I love making people laugh. I love finding these human elements of it. But, like, just because I'm not breaking down, you know, schemes and all this kind of stuff all the time, which the Rams didn't hire me for. They hired me to produce content for them that's going to engage with fans. But I, you know, around the NFL listeners, a lot of them are really diehard fans. And such as
myself.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of them do not like me just because I'm a woman. And I've checked out Reddit and stuff since I've left. And they're like, oh, the show has gone up so much now that they have a male producer. Just even stuff with like sound quality and editing where it's like, Justin's been editing and posting it for me for over a year. So joke's on you. I haven't touched the edit. And like just stuff like that people automatically assume. And so the once again, reasons why I bring this up is that I love the opportunity and I love how diverse this team is and the organization, like everyone working there, I cannot say enough good things about. And I think that it's, I'm so lucky to be a part of this team, but I love football and I love this team and I love the sport. And so my lens is going to be different than yours, Jordan. You are, like I said, the smartest football writer. Like you, I just love what you do. I am not that, and I'm not going to ever be that. And so when people come and start looking at me and looking at my stuff, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be a different lens, and it doesn't need to. Oh, Erica's doing funny stuff so that girls like it too. It's like, get out of here with that. You know what I mean? Like, have fun, and if you can get your X's and O's, we can chat ball, but you can also laugh and see some other sides of these players, and I hope that resonates with my stuff.
Yeah, I think what you're gonna be doing and what your effort is to provide a complete picture of who these guys are as whole people. And that is, yes, there is football that relates to that. They do the football for the living, but and they love it and you love it. And that shines through so clearly. I mean, anytime anyone sees anything you do, not just, you know, hearing you talk about it, but at the same time, like there is a human balance to find too. And that's something that does connect with such a broad group of people. And I do have to say, like something I really appreciate about this fan base is nobody even blinked when I came in and started covering the team. Like I got, you know, a couple of weird messages, but like other than that, like, and so I think that is something I'm super, super proud of this fan base for. And I know several thousand of them will be listening to this, and I'm so proud of you guys for being so open to, you know, different types of coverage and people who are so passionate about what they do and create things. And again, at the core, it's like, we just freaking love football. And at the core of it, that's what it is. And that's why we can all connect to each other so well. And this fan base has been so great, such a gift, because it's still growing. It's still finding itself and figuring out its, you know, personality after a long time away. And I think that it's doing so in a lot of ways in a very positive way. And so I know that, I know that 11 Personnel listeners already love you, are going to love you. I know that this fan base as a whole, is just so stoked and receptive, to have somebody who, you know, doesn't look like the stereotypical person covering football, out there and doing things that they're passionate about and they care about. And thank you for sharing that perspective too. And thank you for being on today, because it's really important to remind ourselves every once in a while, just kind of like take up space, like take up freaking space.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, thank you for having me. I was so excited that you would even consider having me on. Cause like I said, I'm such a fan of yours and your work is absolutely incredible. And I was just like, I was giddy. I was excited when I woke up. I hit the gym and I'm like, gotta get ready.
And I get to see you. I get to see you in like 2 hours as well.
I know. So, what if we like don't talk? What if I'm like, oh yeah, thanks for this morning. And we like just don't make eye contact.
Hide our faces. Yeah. So that was great, right?
That was awkward, huh? Weird. No, we gotta get dinner while we're down here in Newport Beach, and it's for work. You know, we gotta spy and figure out some light stalking.
Yeah. We'll have some dinner and then some light stalking. Yes.
Yeah. You know, for dessert, a little light stalking for dessert.
I always joke, my readers know and my listeners all know, I always joke, I'm like, I'm a lurker. Like, that's what I do. I lurk. And so when I find these tidbits or news items or at the combine or like any of these places where lurking is encouraged, that I'm always kind of like, this is what I learned when I was lurking here and when I was lurking there. And now it's funny. People say it like, are you going to lurk over there?
I need to learn how to lurk, because I think I'm way too out there. Like someone, you know, of course, a lot of comments on the video, because coming from the main Rams account, you're going to get those types of trolls. And I know you've tried to say goodbye to me like 10 times. And I'm really sorry. But like,
no, stay on. I'll go to practice. You just keep talking.
Yeah, we got to go. But when someone, you know, the comments, who is this or whatever. And so, you know, you say you're a lurker. I freaking answer. I like wrote back to one guy and I was like, your worst nightmare. Like,
oh, I saw
LFG
that.
Rams.
I
like,
loved it.
I'm way too brazen and without reason to be so. So I would love to read your notes on lurking, and maybe I could learn how to lurk a little bit better, because I'm just going to be right out there and be like, who are you?
Okay, but
who's your mom?
Like, lurk in a different area than I'm lurking, if you could.
Yeah.
If you could.
Yeah, I will.
It's like,
don't
there's
worry.
Some etiquette there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's some.
Yeah, that's your lurk spot. I'll chill over here.
She is Erica Tamposi, a.k.a. I love saying this. I'm sorry. Ricky Hollywood. I love saying
yeah,
it. I kind of channel Hanzus a little bit, I feel like, when I say it.
Yeah.
Like, I start to, like, I can feel my head just sort of get a little bit, you know, like, more. Do you see the coif
the
is
hair.
Coming in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so yeah. I feel a little more polished having said it. But she is Ricky Hollywood. She is Erica Tamposi. You guys, make sure you're following along. Super stoked to see what she does this year creatively, multimedia, everything. She's going to have her hands on all facets of that. And it's going to be awesome. Thank you so much for being on today.
Oh my God, thank you.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.